Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Sister Sutin, for reading the passage. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. My name is Serene. I'm one of the pastors of AMKPC. We are in the month of December, like what Elder Lester rightly said just now. This is the time we call Advent in the Christian calendar. Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day, and his second coming at the time to come. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming or arrival. Advent lasts for 4 weeks before Christmas Day. If you notice, we are having a series of Christmas messages the past 2 weeks. These messages are to prepare us to celebrate Jesus' birth as well as to remind us in anticipation of his second coming in due time. 2 Sundays ago, we have learned from Pastor Wen Chong that Jesus is the light of Christmas. He was the promised king that God sent in the midst of darkness. And last Sunday, Reverend Srimal preached on John 1, highlighting that Jesus is in the beginning with God. He is God, and he became like us to save us. He is the King incarnate. And today, we will learn that Jesus is a very personal God. He is the King who cares for our needs. So on this third week of Advent, let us embrace a sense of trust, letting go of anxieties about the temporal and embracing the eternal significance of Christ's coming. Come, let us pray. Dear God, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, please open our hearts and illumine our minds. Let our hearts be good soil to receive what you want to speak to us today. Convict us and transform us as we continue to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, there was a man who was always worried about everything. He worried about his job, his family, his health, and his future. One day, he went to see an old wise man who lived in the mountains. And then the old wise man listened patiently as the man told him about his worries. When the man finished, the old wise man said, "I have a solution for you. Take this packet of salt and put it in a glass of water. Drink it." The man did what he was told and drank the salt water. It tasted terrible, but he did it anyway. The wise man then said, "Now, take another bag of salt and put it in the lake. Then, come back and see me tomorrow." The man did as he was told and came back the next day. The wise man asked him, "Did you drink the salt water?" The man nodded. The wise man then asked, "How did it taste?" The man replied, "Terrible! I almost died from drinking it." The wise man then said, "The pain you felt from drinking the salt water is the same pain you feel when you worry. Take note that the amount of pain you feel is determined by the amount of worry you carry. If you want to be free from worry, you have to let go of the things that are weighing you down." Worry or being anxious, which I will use them interchangeably from now on, is a normal emotion that all of us will experience in our life on earth. It is an apprehensive feeling towards the future or future events when we think of them. Sometimes, a normal worry is helpful. For example, if my children are worried about their next national exams at the end of next year, they will start thinking and planning to revise in the beginning of the year. This type of worry is healthy and normal. However, if we are constantly in this worried mode, it can become excessive worry. Thereafter, it could be very negative impact on our well-being, be it physical or mental. Today's passage, Jesus knew exactly his disciples' worries at the point when he addressed them in Matthew's account. And he also knew that all these worries would cause them harm. Right before Jesus talked about worry, he challenged his disciples to be committed to God. The verse 24 before our passage today reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus was asking for a single-minded commitment to God from his disciples. Notice Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters," instead of "no one should serve two masters." Why? Because Jesus knew that there can only be one God a person worships. One either worships Jesus or worships something else. In his disciples' case, most of them were living in scarcity. They do not have enough. Daily needs like food, drink, and clothing could be a problem. If we observe the gospel, the people following Jesus are usually the downtrodden of the society, the poor, the needy, the sick, and they are not the elite. If they follow what Jesus taught, it meant they needed to stay committed to God's priority, Would they have enough to live on if they want to follow Jesus? Many of Jesus' disciples might be worried of how to follow Jesus if their basic daily needs are a question mark to them. Therefore, it was natural for the disciples to worry about money not enough, what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. Knowing that these worries were on his disciples' minds and hearts, Jesus urged them not to be anxious about those things. Those things were temporal. Jesus highlighted to them by asking, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" In other words, if God is the creator who gives us our lives and our bodies, why do we worry that he will not provide for the basic needs of our life? Subsequently, in verse 27, Jesus asked them, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Indeed, worry cannot add a single minute to our life. Worry cannot add a single dollar to our bank account. Worry cannot add a single mark to our exam's result. Worry cannot impress our boss. Worry cannot help our kids behave better. Worry cannot help any of us. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with planning for your finances and budgeting for the year ahead, or so on and so forth. But Jesus is saying that worry doesn't help. He does not say not to think about our basic needs. He says not to worry about them. In our context today, we are relatively less worried about food, drink, or clothing, these basic needs compared to Jesus' disciple. But we are still worrying nonetheless about many things. Perhaps we worry about our national exams. We worry about our relationship with our loved ones. We worry about applying for flats. We worry about our children's health and behaviors. Some of us are worried about our own health. These are just a few of those worries that we have. What are you anxious and worried about recently that has robbed your peace? I would like to suggest an application here. Instead of the default mode of starting to worry when we encounter all these things, can we list down our worries and then come to God first? As I was preparing this message, I noticed I am also concerned about two things which have happened recently. One just happened on Friday night. So I told myself to bring it to God first and not to be too worried about the outcome. It is not something serious, but you see, our default mode is to think of the worst and start to worry first. Only when we hit the dead end, then we will come and bring them to God. I encourage us to try to change this default mode and see how God will provide for our needs. We have talked about how worries are not good for us. Next, let us look at what Jesus wants us to do in order not to be worried. Jesus wants us to trust in our Heavenly Father who cares for us. He gave his disciples two examples of how God cares for his creation and how much more he will care for us. The birds of the air are surviving by just flying around looking for their food every day. They do not need to be worried. And God, being the creator, will provide for them if they look for it. They are not concerned that there will be no food for them. If God would do this to the birds, aren't we more valued than the birds? Here Jesus is not encouraging us not to do nothing, just to relax and wait for God to put food on our table. The bird still needs to fly around and peck the ground for their food. the food won't appear in their nest automatically. But the main point here is to trust our Heavenly Father who cares and not to be worried. Similarly, with regards to the clothing we wear, Jesus told them to look at the lilies of the field. We do not see lilies around us easily here on the field. But if you take a closer look at all the flowers outside of our church building, just outside only, you can see the beauty of them all. Try to look at the details of the flowers, each of them delicately designed, the colors, the shapes, the textures of the petal, and so forth. Jesus said, "They neither toy nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this." These flowers do not need to make their own clothing. They are created to show off their beauty. Jesus compared these flowers to Solomon, the previous king of Israel. The well of Solomon was great, and clothes that Solomon wore were well known to be stunning. Even those cannot compare to the natural beauty of the flowers. These flowers will not last long. This week you come to church, they bloom, but the next week you come, they are gone. Their lifespan are brief, but God gives them the stunning appearance still. What more about we, God's children, whom he loves so much more? Jesus asked the disciples twice in this passage. In verse 26, he said, "Are you not more valuable than they?" Then in verse 30, he said, "Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" When the words are repeated in the Bible, we know that this is the emphasis. Jesus wants us to know that the Heavenly Father loves us much more than, and why won't he care for us? If you take care of your pet well, will you neglect your children's needs? If we, the imperfect parents, would do this to our children, what more about God, our perfect Heavenly Father? Many times, the problem with us is we do not trust God enough to take care of us. Jesus rightly puts, "O you of little faith," in this passage. He knew that the disciples were not trusting God enough. In order to trust someone, we need to know the person well enough to trust. Trust needs to be built on. I trust my friend who is a housing agent to sell my house because I know her since we were in the secondary school. I do not need to be worried that he will take advantage of me. If we don't trust God to care for us, perhaps we have not built this trust with him yet. We do not really know him well. Therefore, we do not trust him to provide. Let us strive to know God more so that we are willing to trust him more. One basic way to know God more is to read the Bible, to pray, and to participate as a worshipper of Christ in church. I know all this sounds very cliche, like something we already know, but it is the fundamental if you want to know more about God. Another way is to ask questions. Ask your fellow brothers and sisters, youth leaders, cell group leaders, or pastors, questions about your faith, not to challenge them, but to know God more. We do not trust because we think we can handle it. We know better, even though in our mind we know that God is the creator and the one who cares for us, but our hearts may not completely trust that he will do it. It is like you are driving Jesus in your car from here all the way up to Penang. But somehow you forgot to bring your phone and the GPS in your car is spoiled, okay? And you haven't driven to Penang without all these things before. Panic! But Jesus told you, let me drive you there. Huh? Are you sure, Jesus? You know how to go or not? You have a driving license? Do you believe that I am God, the Almighty? Do you trust me to be able to do it? Jesus asked. Will you trust Jesus and let him take the driver's seat? If you are unwilling, ask yourself, why? I think I'm not willing because I don't admit that I cannot do it. I think that I am better, I'm a better driver than Jesus. After all, he hasn't driven before. You know? I'm unwilling to surrender my driver's seat because I do not trust him. Similarly, if we think that we can handle our worries, we do not humble ourselves and admit that we are unable to do it and trust God, we will not let him take the driver's seat. This is the trust that Jesus is asking from us. Do we trust him to take care of our needs? We need to humble ourselves and trust that God cares enough to provide for our needs. Some years back, Strimal and I were concerned that our house may need to be partitioned to have one more room to cater for the needs of our growing children. I have three children, for those who may not know, one boy and two girls, and my mother-in-law stays with us. So naturally, as the children grow, three of them cannot share the same room. We talk about how and where to do the partition to have one more room. In my mind, to buy a HDB flat with four bedrooms is something that is beyond our means. But I remember I told Srimal, God knows our need. He will provide. And true enough, one day out of the blue, Srimal found an apartment which has four bedrooms through the property guru. We went and saw. After that, long story short, we prayed about it and waited for 3 months before we finally bought it. Never in my wildest dream that I imagined we could stay in the current place. It is only because God knows our needs and provided for us against all odds. I was concerned at that point, but I thank God that this experience helped me to trust God and experience his care in the process. Trusting God is not a one-time decision, but a daily choice. It may not always be easy, but it is always worth it. As you trust God more, you will experience his peace, joy, and strength in your life. We heard that worry is not good for us. We are to trust God because he cares for our need. In addition to it, Jesus gives us a promise at the end of this passage. In verse 33, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, referring to all our needs, will be added to us, to you. The kingdom of heaven here is referring to the kingship of God, and his righteousness is the way to live as God's child. We should first concern of God's concern, not our concern. On the other hand, we are to live according to the righteousness of Christ. Simply put, we are to put God first and grow to be more like Jesus. What does it look like to seek the kingship of God and his righteousness? It can take many forms, but to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness requires us to read God's word and pray. These are the basic. Then we could also examine our lives from time to time to see in what areas we are still living the old way. Is there any areas in our lives the Holy Spirit has been nudging us to change and we remain the same? The list can go on and on. In a nutshell, seek God's kingship and his righteousness require us to spend time with God, to know him, to let him be God. Live with his terms in mind, not ours. Eric Liddle was born to a missionary's family. His parents were missionaries in China. He was sent to study back in his hometown in Scotland when he reached the studying age. In school, Eric was such an incredible athlete. In the year 1924, Eric's goal was to get to the Olympic in France and run in his best race, the 100-meter race. He trained hard to get in top shape, and his country of Scotland was sure he could win a gold medal for them. There was just one problem. That heat was on Sunday, and Eric would not run on Sunday. Why, you ask? He wanted to worship and honor God on Sunday instead of competing in a race. What do you think others thought of Eric that time? Most of the people thought he was ridiculous. Some people made fun of him, and others were angry at him. After all, they thought he would win Scotland a gold medal. Without him, they didn't stand a chance. Well, instead of running in the 100 meters, he qualified for the 200 meters and 400 meters race. Because the heats did not occur on Sunday, no one expected him to come close to winning. Because these two distance races weren't his best. On the day of the 400-meter race, an American gave him a piece of paper that had 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 on it. Those who honor me, I will honor. This is one of God's promises in his word. Eric ran with a piece of paper in his hand and held on to this promise tightly. Even though the 400 meter wasn't his best distance, and he was not expected to win anything, Eric broke the existing world record and finished in 47 minutes and 6 seconds. He won the gold. Not only that, he won the bronze medal for the 200 meters as well. Eric Liddle glorified God by choosing to make his strong stand in his faith. God honored him, and he received 2 medals in the end. This is just one of the real-life examples of how we can put God first. We may not go to the extent of leaving a testimony to be recorded in history, but we can do it in a small baby step to put God first in our daily activities. How are we to seek God first in our daily living? Researcher in Cornell University in the United States found that, on average, adult human beings make about 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 a day. From the smallest decision to the big ones. In all these decisions that we make, some require us to intentionally choose Christ first. For example, what is the first thing that you will do when you wake up in the morning? I know many of us is to check our handphones. Can we intentionally choose to praise God and talk to God first when we wake up? It doesn't take too much time. A 5-minute praise and prayer, short prayer, to start the day. This is what I'm training myself to do daily now. Here is just one small decision that we make in a day to put God first in our daily activities. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, chose to put God and his kingdom first, despite being in distress and feeling sorrowful. In the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 41 and 42, recorded for us, and it reads, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Right after Jesus prayed, he was arrested and later crucified on the cross. He died, but on the third day, Jesus was resurrected from the dead and conquered death once and for all. This is our God who do not want us to worry about our lives. He cares for us even to the extent of giving up his life. He promised to provide for what we need. Are we willing to trust him and put him first? Come, let us pray. Today, if any of us here who have not given your life to Jesus, if you are constantly worried about things in your life, Jesus wants to invite you to trust him with all that you need. If you heard this message today and you want Jesus to be your God, you can raise your hand and pray this prayer with me. Is there anyone here who wants to receive Jesus into your life and give your life to Jesus for him to take care of you? Is there anybody you want to receive Jesus? Can raise your hand. Okay. The second group of people I want to ask are those of us who are already children of God. Is there any area of your life, because of your worries, you have put God aside? Jesus invites you to do what is important to him first and cast your care to him. Trust him. He will provide. I give you some time to respond to God's invitation. God, you alone know what we need and what we want. And regardless of what our current situation is, we believe that you are enough for us. Your provision is enough for us. Your love is enough for us. Your will is enough for us. So today, we surrender our concerns for the future and our current worries. We want to pursue you and trust that you will take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Serene, for the message. Church, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a Christian hymn written by Karen Lafferty in 1971. This hymn calls us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Directly inspired by scripture, the lyrics draw from Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let us all stand as we sing this closing song, Seek Ye First. Sing it together.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Fight, brothers.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Sisters,
ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Sing it together, seek ye first.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. All these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Praise be to God. Please be seated.